Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Rumsfeld, and just a really good balanced approach to how things are happening here in the United States in terms of military threats that we have. We welcome Steve Bucci back to the program. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Pastor, how are you?
I'm good. Hope you had a good weekend.
Very quiet.
It's good. We've mentioned this before. Even though the newspapers, the articles, the news, the media in general may not be covering anything in terms of military stories and or threats, but the military, our military, has to be on watch, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They don't have the advantage of taking off the weekend for the most part and just not doing and chilling, right? Everybody's watching. Everybody's on alert status, I guess we could say, right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously some people are off, but there's always somebody on duty protecting us, watching out, keeping track of the bad guys, looking for bad guys that we don't even know about yet. All that stuff is in place and never gets turned off.
Mm-hmm. So the reason I ask this is this past Saturday in Tehran, Iran, Iran's chief of the Revolutionary Guard threatened to go after anyone who had anything to do with the earlier in the year killing of General Qassem Soleimani. General Hossein Salami said, "Mr. Trump, our revenge for martyrdom of our great general is obvious, serious, and real." So, I think it was actually a drone strike that took out the terrorist Soleimani. So is this as an empty threat, or is this, he's saying to go after anyone who had a role? Well, I mean, yeah, it goes all the president, I guess, right? If somebody had a role in the taking out of Soleimani. Is this an empty threat, or is this something to be concerned about, Steve?
It's something that we take seriously. We always look into every threat that comes down the road, particularly when they're done publicly, because national governments usually don't do that if they don't have some intention to try and pull it off. Mm-hmm. But I hope the Iranians would recognize that it's kind of a fool's errand. They can do that if they want. But particularly with President Trump in office, I think the repercussions from a retaliatory strike of any sort will be not necessarily reciprocal. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be proportional.
Right.
If they do this, and they threatened, we had intelligence, they were going to go after one of our ambassadors down in Africa.
Right.
So that the Iranians have agents, particularly of the IRGC Quds Force, who are akin to the old Soviet Spetsnaz. They're a combo of spies, assassins, special operations, all rolled into one. They could try and pull something like this off. If they can tie it to someone who was directly involved in the strike that killed Soleimani, mm-hmm. Well, that would have great propaganda value, at least domestically. But I can tell you, I'd say give it a shot, guys, but you're going to pay an awful price for it if you do. So keep that in mind. Soleimani attacked our people. We then took him out. That's kind of the way these
things
work.
It's cut and dry, right. Well, so to your point,
if they think that's a problem, then they may have a bigger price to pay going forward.
To your point, there apparently was an Iranian plot uncovered to assassinate Ambassador Lana Marks. The general was asked that, and he said, "Do you think we would hit a female ambassador in return for our martyred brother? We will hit those who had direct and indirect roles." Well, that could be anybody in the United States, for crying out loud. You should know that everybody who had a role in this event will be hit. And this is a serious message. We do prove everything in practice. So he's saying this. You take us seriously. We're gonna try to do this.
Well, they may, but again, I would take us seriously. You know, your new nickname may be next. you know, for saying that, we'll see. This is not. Barack Obama is not in office right now.
Right.
You know, Donald Trump, if you slap back at him, he is going to hammer you, and rightfully so. So we'll see. Again, we take it seriously. Nobody's shaking in their boots right now and worried that the Iranians are going to come do bad things to us. We've got a lot more capability than they do.
Sure.
And while we don't want to hurt innocent Iranians, you know, we much prefer to take steps that target specific individuals who have done something wrong. Sometimes we can go bigger than that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I think we always have that threat, particularly around 9/11. I can only imagine, I have no direct knowledge of this, but I can only imagine that on 9/11, we probably get threats from everybody. Everybody, every copycat, or even legitimate real threats from people who would do us harm. And that's why who leads the country is so important. You referenced, Barack Obama's not in charge. I don't know that I haven't felt this safe, really, in a long time, knowing that President Trump does not take any nonsense from anybody. And it gives you a great sense of security that you have a commander-in-chief who really takes the commander-in-chief role seriously.
And you have to understand, you know, maybe you don't like all of his policies, you know, some people out there, but I can tell you, when he says, "I am going to do X," thus far in his term, he has done exactly what he has said he was going to do. Even when everybody else said, "Oh, you can't do that. No, that's just ridiculous. He'll never do that." You know, Bashar al-Assad found that out in Syria. The Russians have found that out. We're going to take action if the president says take action. And so I know people don't like his style, but I got to tell you, if you look at his policy and the actions he's taken, he's been pretty spot on.
Let's shift gears for a second. I'm very excited about the president having announced the formation of the U.S. Space Force. I'm also excited about, because we had a car in the Indianapolis 500 that was in Space Force livery. It was pretty exciting. Last minute, it was a big top secret thing, and the car just came out and was all done up in U.S. Space Force livery. And I'm excited about it because I think back to Ronald Reagan, and I know your affection for Ronald Reagan is as high as mine is. And I think it was Ronald Reagan that talked about the Star Wars defense. I know it was Ronald Reagan talking about the Star Wars defense system as if it were real, as if it were happening, as if it were underway. And it really kind of bankrupted the Soviet Union in terms of their ability to try to keep up with us in terms of technology and defense. So I think space is certainly an important place to focus on, particularly in terms of defense from who knows what might be planted out there. So I'm excited about the announcement of the Space Force. I'm excited about the fact that they're saying that they've recently deployed members at the Al Udeid Air Force Base in Qatar. And I'm like, what? I don't know what they're doing exactly. And I'm not asking for any information that you might know that shouldn't be talked about. But 20 Air Force troops were flanked in American flags, and they were made part of the Space Force. So help us understand this. Is the Space Force a subset of the Air Force at this point, or is the Space Force, you know, its own branch, so to speak?
Right now, they are still part of the Air Force, but they are in the process. It was President Trump's intent to make them a separate service. So, you know, like the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps. We'll see going forward whether that happens. There's a lot of folks who don't, you know, getting a whole new service means a lot of extra infrastructure, you know, a lot of extra generals running around. I'm not sure we need that, and as a lot of other people, not sure we need it. But, you know, the president gets to kind of push on that stuff and make people do things. So not just this president, but any president. So we'll see where it goes. But, you know, clearly space is an operational area that we need to be aware of, that we need to be, you know, super competent in. It has a ton to do with communications. It has a ton to do with the placement of platforms, either to watch other people or to take action from. And that's, you know, doing that as a subset, there's some liabilities and some difficulties. So there is a good case to be made for making it a separate service that focuses just on that operational area. So we'll see where it goes. I remember each of the services has an internal space command, and they had special operations billets in the Army one, and we were all going, well, what the heck does a Green Beret do in space? Do we float around and, like, sneak up on people? Or, but it had to do mainly with communications capabilities and support for our operations on the ground from space. So it's a highly technical area. You know, will be probably the most high tech we have of the services if it becomes a separate service. But it'll be interesting to see all the details get hashed out.
Well, I mean, we're talking with Steve Bucci from the Heritage Foundation. You know, you read from time to time reports about whether it's the Russians or the Chinese having the capability to disrupt or disable our satellites. I mean, you think of all the satellites. I have no idea how many satellites are in place, whether they're, you know, geosynchronous or orbiting kinds of satellites. But clearly, all of our communications are dependent on satellite. So apart from string and cans, it would be bad. It would be difficult if a country like China or Russia, you know, decided that and actually moved ahead with some kind of weaponry to be able to take out U.S. satellites. So I see this as a very, you know, it's kind of like cyber, right? I mean, we're constantly guarding and fighting against cyber attacks, and, you know, and computers. I kind of see it the same way. It seems like we'd want to make sure we were at the forefront, just like we were with NASA. We want to make sure we're at the forefront of space protection and space operations.
Absolutely. And that's exactly the genesis of the president's desire to see Space Force brought into operational levels. It doesn't mean the other services don't play in that arena. Obviously, you know, in cyber, every service has cyber components to it. And things that are very, you know, untechnologically, you know, like our infantry, they have a ton of cyber capability, communications capability. The whole purpose for standing up either a separate command or a separate service for space is to give that responsibility to, you know, one group of people that this is what you do, guys. This is your, it's not some additional duty. It's not some supporting function. It is your 24/7, 365 focus. And it's that important that we want to have that and be able to operate at that high level that requires that kind of attention. So it's, you know, a lot of people laughed when the president brought it up. You know, a lot of people laughed at President Reagan when he brought it up.
Sure.
You're right. It was a visionary thing that caused the Russians, sure, took them seriously because they went crazy trying to combat it because they knew if we got started down that road, there was no way they were going to be able to keep up with us. But they tried, and it was one of those key tipping points that caused the Soviet Union to collapse. And, you know, I think there's some of that in this decision by President Trump as well.
Yeah. Let's, I'm going to, a few more minutes here. I want to change gears once again. We've talked about this, and I understand it, you more, far more than I would understand. But tradition plays a great part in all branches of the armed forces, the tradition, military tradition that dates back to, you know, the founding of the country, particularly with the Army and the Marines. But some things, because of COVID, have been disrupted. And so I always like watching ships when they're christened. And, you know, it's a big ceremony, a lot of pomp and circumstance. You've got everybody there, the crew, I guess, and you know, all the workers. And recently there was, a couple weeks ago, there was a christening of a new attack submarine. And it's a Virginia-class sub called the Montana. And it's been apparently 100 years since any naval vessel had bared the name Montana. So it's kind of a big deal for the state. It's a big deal. But they had to do it. They had to do it virtually. You know, somebody smashed the bottle on it. And of course, there's obviously a lot of people there because you got this multi-gazillion ton, you know, submarine slipping into the water. You can't do that with all computers. But there wasn't an audience. There wasn't a big deal. How important is tradition to the military, whatever branch, and why is it so important, Steve?
It's tremendously important. I think the military is one of those professions that, you know, lives on tradition, probably as much, if not more so, than almost any other. It is important because think about it. You are asking young men and now, to a large extent, young women as well, mm-hmm. to put their lives on the line. And they don't do that just for pay. They don't do that even just for patriotism, though that's a large component of it. They do it because they feel a connection clearly to their comrades that are standing around them today, but also based on that connection with the people that have come before them. You know, at the United States Military Academy at West Point, where I graduated, one of the songs that we sing is called The Corps, right? They're the Corps of Cadets. And it talks about, you know, the Corps bareheaded saluted with eyes up thanking our God, because we of the Corps are treading where they of the Corps have trod. There's that connection back to the past gives the kind of motivation you need to get normal humans who are not generally violent, who are not, you know, rabid killers, mm-hmm. to go out and put their lives on the line to protect us and protect our country. Mm-hmm. Napoleon is famous for saying that you'd be amazed what a young man will do for a little bit of medal and ribbon, mm-hmm. you know, meaning a military decoration. It's remarkable that motivates us, but it does. And
it does.
Ties us together.
To me.
And it's what creates heroes, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an amazing thing. So tradition's incredibly important. We're flexible with it. You know, we could have a virtual christening of a submarine because the circumstances demand it right now.
Right.
We like new weapons. We like new technology. But that tie back to tradition is very, very critical to the military profession.
Yeah. All right. Well, very good. Thank you so much. As always, Steve Bucci, Heritage Foundation. We're always looking forward to talking with you, Steve, and I know the folks love hearing from you. So thank you very much, and God bless you.
God bless you too, Pastor. Have a great week.
All right, we will we'll be back, and stay with us. 800-966-9842, 860-522-9842.